excuse us.
That's right.
Sorry.
I knew it. I heard your voice. This is a friend of our family, Kathy, Ida, Jeanette. It's Debbie, her son, and her husband. Right? And they're great people. And so that's how we know them. They're more friends with them than they are me, but Gavin's the friend to everybody here. But this is kind of some of the stuff I've been hearing this morning. If you read that scripture, if we are faithless, what does it say? He remains faithful. I've been thinking about that all week. Well, 3 weeks of it. But just thinking on that in 2 Timothy, how faithful he is. And you think over your lifetime and over things that go on, he's truly been faithful. But we're going to be looking at, I just wanted to put that up there, and that's what I'm going to start with. I'm going to trust in his faithfulness this morning and what I'm going to share. Because you guys know me. I have no degree. I don't know much of anything at all. I'm just Rick Baker that believes in Christ. And that's the only thing you need to know. And that's all there is. That's right. It's all we have. And you can take that down if you like. And I just wanted to start there, and I'm going to pray that. Lord, we ask your faithfulness this morning to lead me in the right direction of this information we have to share about you. And that it's clear, and that your spirit makes it real to our hearts. And just not a story, but your kindness and your faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, that's kind of the stuff I want to look at is just his faithfulness, right? About how he cares about the family. And how he carries us through different hard times. I hear people talking about times being hard and different things like that. And that, you know, what he really wants in the bottom line is he wants a relationship with us. And that's what I'm going to end up at. I usually don't want to say that stuff in the beginning, but that's really where we're going to end up at, is in a relationship with Christ. And I just... going to say some things to get the scatteredness out of my head so I can focus. And then and we're going to be looking at Paul and the letters that he wrote while he was in prison. And different things like that. You know, that's amazing. Paul's life in itself when you look at those things. So how I got started with this whole thing was I was reading in Philemon. Am I saying that right? Philemon. And the first thing says what? He says, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ. And I spent, I don't know how much time, just thinking on, well, what's it like to be a prisoner of Christ? I mean, a prisoner of Christ. Because you think of a prison, and you heard about the fellow this morning. What a great story. How he, you know, how he came to the Lord, but how he led others to the Lord. And the joy that he had in captivity, right? And we hear all this emotion going on with people and all these things, but I kept thinking about it, being a prisoner of Christ. How am I a prisoner of Christ? Am I? Am I not? You know, what does that look like? That was some of the questions I, you know, started, you know, looking at that. And, of course, I'm going to, you know, give you a bunch of, you know, things on what I think. But in the Philemon... that story, actually, about 12 years ago, Steve Miller came to me and said, what do you think about the story about Philemon? I go, what story about Philemon? He said, yeah, it's a book in the Bible. I go, I never heard of it. I didn't know it. I never heard the story. Even right above it on my in my Bible, I have Steve Miller, and then I got Philemon. And then I read it, and I'm like, what's that all about? So I started reading it that long ago with no idea, thinking of a prisoner of Christ. And Paul's talking as a prisoner of Christ about this Philemon and talking a letter to them. And I got kind of fascinated with the letter. And so he's sitting, you know, in a prison somewhere writing this letter. And what I like about the letter is the slave that he sends back to, if I have the story right, to Philemon, he ends up running away and gets in prison. And who's he meet in prison? Paul. And Paul leads him to the Lord. And that's amazing to me. That here's a guy who runs away, and Paul's writing a letter back to this guy, right? And he's going to send him back to him. He said, I want you to take him back, no longer as a slave, but as what? A brother in the Lord. Right? And so here's Paul doing that, sending him back. And he said, what else did he say? Whatever debt he has to you, I, Paul, will be willing to pay the debt that that slave owes you. Now that's a change of heart in that man, Paul, isn't it? You think about who he is, you know, and where he comes from. And I want to look at that just for a minute about Paul. And I just think that's great because I see Christ in that story because he paid our debt. Christ paid full debt for Mike, for Jeff, Mr. Ed, Miss Lillian, for Rick Baker. Anything I've ever done, right? Now, Paul, in the beginning, I guess he was Saul early on. And when I stand here and talk, I know you people know way more than I know. You know, and I just, you know, I read them. But he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was there when a guy was murdered. And he's standing there. And some even say he took their clothes and, you know, helped and watched. Now, I couldn't find anything where it said he took part of that. But I do know he put people in prison. He had other people beat, all for being believers. Here's this guy. But here, in the same time, Stephen's looking up into heaven. And he says, don't put their death on me, on them. You know, even forgive them. He's looking up into heaven. That's what he's saying. And Saul's standing there watching the beating. Now, I've been involved in some beatings in my life. I've been beat pretty good, my own self. But I've actually helped stop a couple people. I had to say that. I didn't want to say it. I've been debating it all week long. Do I even want to admit that? But that's the stuff he's setting us free from. The garbage in our lives. Right? And Paul was there. And now we see Paul in Philemon saying, here, take the prisoner back. I'll cover his debt. I'm no longer wanting to beat this guy down. I want to help set this guy free in Christ. Right? Like the prisoner Mike's talking about. And that's amazing. In my life, I want to use the example. A week ago Friday, here I'm asking God, what's it like to be a prisoner of Christ? What is that all about? You know, what does that look like, right? So me and a friend of mine and I had a conversation on a Friday. And on Tuesday, he calls me and didn't even want to talk to me anymore. A brother in the Lord. He said, Rick, you really hurt my feelings bad on Friday. I go, what'd I do? I didn't even know that I was rude to the guy. I was just telling him what we were discussing. I just told him the truth. And I didn't know it offended him to the point where he didn't even want to talk to me anymore. And when I hung the phone up, I'm thinking, okay, I'm reading all these scriptures. Christ looks like this. Here it is, a prisoner of the Lord. And I want you to hold on to that story just for a second. So I'm thinking, what is it like to be a prisoner of the Lord and being captivated by him, right? And Gavin's not in here. Gavin said, a prisoner of Jesus is only one who's worshiping God and Jesus. That's what he says, I can't take credit for that. I have to give him the credit for saying that. But that's good old Gavin, keeping me right, keep my eyes focused on there. And then we see, like in different stories, it says malice and heartache and all these things are not what Christ is about. But goodness, kindness, forgiving, in the bond of peace. We need to keep the bond of peace. These are the letters that Paul are writing to these people at that time. Here I am going, wow, I got a problem with a brother right today. I mean, he doesn't even want to talk to me. I've been friends with this guy for years. And he says, he told me I was one of the most selfish people he ever met in my life. And I said, I couldn't even answer. And I went, well, I am. I am kind of selfish. I am kind of self-centered. It is kind of about me. I couldn't deny it. That's the problem. I'm going, wow, I am a lot like that. Wow, I'm a Christian. This guy's pointing this out about me. Right, and I'm reading the scriptures about what does it be a prisoner of Christ. Man, I'm not reflecting none of it. Why? He's not seeing it. I'm not that. I might not be stomping him, but I stomped him with my words. Didn't realize it though. I really wasn't intentional being mean. So I got looking in here about how he is faithful, even when I'm not. And I got looking about different things he says. That he, I can't find it for some reason, you know, but how he starts a work in you and he's going to finish that good work that is in you. And I knew he'd already started in my heart. I already known for years I'm a changed person. I already know it. So all that stuff's going on and I called the guy back. Normally I would just say, get lost. You're wrong. But that's not the bond of peace, is it? That's not being a prisoner of Christ. That's not what Christ wants me to do with Christian or non-Christian. He wouldn't want me to treat him like that. So I call him up. I say, hey, man, what's going on? I need to talk to you. Let me say a couple things. Right? And he goes, wow, I'm glad you called me back. I go, really? He goes, yeah, I'm really glad you called me back. Wasn't long. Hour later, he shows up to where I'm at. And I think the one Wilhelm boy was there. And I started talking to him about it, and I started crying about it. And we got hugging each other. And it was over. The bond of peace. The faithfulness of Christ in both of us. You see what I mean? Instead of me going, no, you're wrong. You know what I mean? Let's get mad. You know what I mean? Where's the bond of peace? Because the world's looking in. Like you're all saying, everybody's confused, right? They're seeing two brothers here. Like, we could have made that big deal. There was people around could have saw me argue with this guy. But when he got there, I started saying, look, I'm reading this scripture, and it says, I need to come to you in the bond of peace. He goes, when did you read it? I said, 2:30 in the morning last night. And you called me up telling me I'm a rude guy. Tell me God's not faithful. He gave me the scripture before I needed it. I needed it, not my friend. See, that's the point. I need it, not you. I need it, not you. Right? So then I'm walking around. I'm looking for the bond of peace now. Hey, man, how can we keep peace? Right? Because that's what Christ is doing in the fellowship, in with other Christians. They're looking in. They want to see division here. Not just here, every believer. Right? But we take it as I'm the one that needs the work. Says Jamie, she needs work. You know what I mean? She needs to get changed. I read it and it's for her. I'm sitting reading these scriptures in the middle of the night going, oh, they're for me. Thought I was fixed because I'm not stomping somebody physically, right? My mouth sometimes almost caused a division. And I thank the Lord for that disagreement I had with that brother because we saw his scripture work out today. Out of a letter written from a guy in prison, how long ago? 2,000 years ago. He's writing these letters. And you're talking about delivering people. You kept saying deliver, deliver. I've been wondering how God delivered the letters. Right? The delivery, how he got those letters out. How did he get those letters out of those dungeons, right? And one of the dungeons, man, I am all off of this. It's over. I might as well just throw the paper to the floor. The dungeon that he was in, right, that Paul was in Timothy. I wanted to go to Timothy last because I wanted to look at Colossians a little bit. It describes all the attributes of being a prisoner of Christ. You know, the goodness, the kindness. There's no envy. There's no strife. Different than the world. No wonder why they're confused. They're not looking about the change that needs to happen here. We want whatever his name is. They want him fixed. Right? And we want to do those things. And we need that. You know, we're looking to fix. And it's easier. This man, we're not real good friends, but he's a kind man. You be around him for a little while, you'll go, that's a kind man. You know, that's the first thing I thought when I left that day over to your house. I'll never forget that. Just being kind. Here I am being rude to a friend. But even in Philippians, you know, Paul is writing all these letters. It's just amazing. But in Timothy, right, this is the one where he dies when he's in prison. But there's like a prison, and it's got a floor here, then a second floor. And I looked all these things up and found them, right? Then there's a third one. He's down. Some of them said it was almost like a sewer. I want you to think about this. This is what I want you to think. This is where I got in here, man. This is pretty cool. And he's down in there. Some think just a hole big enough to get people in. Do you know other people were dying in there from starvation? We don't have prisons like that today. Them guys are getting, you know, food and all. I don't want to go to any prison. I don't care where it is. I don't want them to hold me up, even if I'm getting food and TV. I don't want to be in it. I'm not saying that. But look at the prison he was in, the filth he was in. Some of them even say they were even chained down there, that low in the ground. A stinking, nasty hole. And how is Christ getting those letters out of there? How is he getting those letters out to help change my life today? Right? It's not an old story. It's actual walking fact that Christ is in our hearts. He's doing those things, right? So Paul's down in there and he's just, you know, writing out these different things, right? And one part he even says where me being in bounds, right? It has led to me being able to spread the gospel even further. And you said it back there this morning, Jim. This is probably one of the best times for us to ever share the gospel is right now. right? Because when people are going, what's going on? How come you guys seem calm? We're just calm because we know we're not in control. We're not in control. But Christ is in control. He's as sure as he was. When we are not faithful, what? He is faithful. Don't ever forget that one. That's just huge. He brings it around because we're trying, you know, he knows it, right? And he's talking about being in bonds because he even got to go to like Caesar or whoever was in control then. I don't know who the main guy was. But he even got to go into the palaces and preach Christ in bonds. They said, what are you doing in here? He's all tied up. I'm here to talk about Christ. So he even in his bonds, even in rough times, right? This is when you can share Christ. This is when you get an opportunity because people are asking you, what's going on? Hey, you know, you seem to be pretty good. Well, I don't really like what's happening. I don't like the idea. I got to do this or I got to do that. But I'm willing to be part of the game. But here's really what it's about. Now, my dad, if you knew my dad, he worked all the time. And people would never, ever, they would say, your dad is a minister? I didn't know that. Well, if you ask him, you were in trouble. But if you didn't ask him, he wouldn't bring it up. But if you ask him, what do you believe? My dad would go right to Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. It's all about that. And in my dad's life, I want to share the story. I was going to wait till later, but I'll do it now. When it was 3 days before he died, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why I get up that time of morning. And I got up and I told Kathy, I said, I know dad's, you know, of course you all know he wasn't living, was going to die soon. And I said, I got to go see dad. Something's wrong. I know I got to just go down. Let me just go see him. And some of you probably heard me tell this story. I know Jamie has. And I go down at nighttime, and I'm sneaking around the back of the house, and he's got his little light on over his shoulder, and he's reading the scripture. 3 days before he dies, he's still seeking Christ. And I tap on the window. Now, if you tap on the window and it's me, I'm jumping, right? My dad looks up. Hey, bud, come on in. Come on in. So I come around, and he goes, look at his great mercies. Look at his great grace. Look how much he loves us. Look at all he's done for us. This guy hadn't ate a meal in 30 days. His heart was joyful. You know what I mean? He was alive. Even though this old body was dying away, his situation didn't change his walk with the Lord. Right? And that's one thing I really want to stress today, is that the situation doesn't change. I could have been nasty to my friend. Right? But because of what the Lord's done in my heart, he woke me up to the scripture and I used it that very day. Right? Don't let the situation change your walk with the Lord. It's no different. He's the same. What does it say? Yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. Right? And there's my dad starving. And he's not talking about starving. He's not complaining one word. Not one word of complaint. This guy. Not one. He's saying, look what he did. Look what he does. Look what it does. Let me read something to you. I want to read it right. It says here. Here he's reading down. Right? It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Right? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Right? That's my dad. Right? And that's the message of Christ. Now look, Paul is doing the exact same thing. He's down in there. He's got a nasty, stinking prison. Don't forget, some think just a hole. I'm not sure how they got down there. People were dying because they wouldn't feed them in that same place. And he's reaching out hope. He's handing out hope. He's handing out joy. He's handing out telling you, you know, the word says to do this and to do that. Right. And we look at it as these are instructions. They are instructions of different things. I got to find one. I really lost my way here, but it doesn't matter. I'm on point with what I want to do. He said, be honored in my body, whether I live or die. That's Paul saying that out of a dungeon. Would you say that out of a dungeon? We get aggravated now. I sleep in a great big thick bed. I bet my bed's that thick. You know what I mean? Mad about something. Aggravated about something. Rude to somebody. Don't even know I'm rude. How bad's that? It's funny, isn't it? Are we complaining? We shouldn't be. As believers, man, hold on to Christ. He's faithful. He's going to do it. Paul was, you know, that he was being delivered either way. In life, or in prison. Even if he stayed in the prison, he's still free. That's the key that Mike's guy. He got it. He got it. You are free today. You're already free. There's nothing binding you down. If you're worried and all that kind of stuff, I say go right before it. May it be silly. Is that thing on? I'm on. Okay. I can't do it with knowing that so long. But they, you know, I do silly stuff. I put my face right on the Bible sometimes and go, God, help me. I need help. Let me know. I need some help in my thinking. My heart, you know, I know it's been changed. You know, I can't even stand when you see things where somebody is getting hurt. I can't even look at that stuff anymore. I can't even watch it. And I was involved in some of that nonsense. I can't even believe it. The Christ changes the heart. Right? And Paul's in there. And I got to do a little teeny bit of this Timothy, and then we'll drop it. I got the point across already. You see he's faithful? Do you know everything's okay? Do you know it's all going to work out? Do you know that you can trust in him? Do you know it's because he's done the work? I mean, it's that simple, right? And then in 2 Timothy, I have to do this when we're family ministries, right? 1:5-7, it talks about the family connection. He talks about, I see your grandmother was a believer. I see your mother was a believer, right? And then I can tell that you are too. So the family being passed down. I can remember my grandmother sitting, reading the Bible. Right in the house, all the time. Remember, of course you guys know my parents. My mom always had stuff out. She was working on one thing or another. But they passed down, what'd they pass to us? Christ, didn't they, Jamie? They didn't say go out and get grace. They didn't say go out, you know, and get happy. Don't go out and get joy. They said go out, find Christ. In him is all those things, right? Because even in one time Paul says, may the grace of God be with you. He sounds like he's giving them a person. It's here. It's in Christ. It's not about seeking the grace or seeking the peace. It's about seeking him. And Paul had that all down. Can you imagine being tied up in a nasty, stinking place like that? And you have joy in your heart? Like I said, I got a big, comfortable bed, and sometimes I'm aggravated about something. I got to go get my face in the Bible and say, help me. And keep coming to him. Keep coming to him. It's nothing more important than passing down Christ to your family. It's important. It's hugely important that we share Christ and pass him on to others. Right? And because him laying in that prison, they called it a maritime prison. I got that from someone else. Right? But they would put people in there to wait for their execution. So if you were in that dungeon, if you're in there, right, you're waiting to die. That's what they're going to do with you. Right? Talking about probably no hope. Oh, man, this is it. This guy over here, he's dying before his sentence is up because of starvation. They're not even feeding these people. They're not taking care of them at all. And out comes this message of hope. Keep your faith in the Lord. Look to him for the grace. Pass this on. And I'd like to know how it got delivered, right? How they even, because they're trying to suppress him, right? But somehow these letters are getting out. God is faithful. He is faithful to get what you need. You hearing aid. That's simple. Little teeny hearing aid. How you ever found that? I'll never know. That's a miracle in itself. Yeah. And even with Paul, who he was, you know, about he was a great Pharisee, or he was great at his job before he became a believer. He bragged on himself. And then he finally, when he becomes a Christian, what's he do? I'm the least of all of them. As he knows he was not worth a nickel. Only because of Christ does he have the strength to carry on. Only because of the Lord does he do it. And this scripture here, I didn't really like this one. I thought of Jeff. When you were saying last week, I want to give you some heavenly stuff, but I got to give you some bad stuff first. This scripture here. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I didn't like that scripture very much. But these guys were all suffering. Look what Christ went through. Look what all the disciples went through. That peaceful, like nothing's ever going to happen. I don't know that I'm suffering any persecution. I don't know that I am. And if I am, I'm missing it. You know what I mean? My life is pretty much cushion. I mean, I might have this issue or have that issue, right? But really, are we suffering? Really, as believers, are we? And that's what people need to look in and see. They need to see you're sure in Christ, right? Well, you got bill problems. Yeah, I got bill problems. But I got someone who's going to help me do it. If it's the ability to go do it and, you know, earn the money, or it's the ability that somebody comes by and brings me groceries. I got friends bringing you tomatoes and corn, supplying your needs. See, that's a supply of him. That's a provision from him. And it's just funny how he does all those things. I like that scripture. If we believe not, he is still faithful. That's amazing to me. When you're not faithful. And I don't know what that looks like. What looking faithful looks not look like. But I'm pretty sure sometimes I'm not trusting. Or sometimes I'm not sure or something. I'm sure it's there. I guess I'm so rude I don't even know when I'm not being that. But that was so cool to have that argument with my brother in the Lord. It wasn't even an argument. It was a talk. But I could tell he was actually heartbroken. I could tell it. And I felt so bad that I did that to someone, right? That I know. But look how quickly it was in the bond of peace, Christ took care of it. It's over. It's over on his side. It's over on my side. And that's the best thing. It's done. When Christ does the work, it's over. You don't have to rehash it. You don't have to go back there. We don't need to be, you know, doing that. If you have a score to settle with somebody, I say go home, call them. You make the change. Because I know I had to. But the Word of God is not bound. That's in 2 Timothy 2:9. The Word of God is not bound. Right? When I suffer in trouble, even evildoers are bound, it says, right? But the Word of God is not bound. Do you know that the Word of God is not bound? It's not because of him. He's free. We are free. I got to laugh at myself and be honest with you. I am nowhere where I thought I was going to do. I am totally, totally not even anywhere on any of this stuff I'm looking at. I got to laugh because I'm there, right? But I'm not where I really thought that I was going to get. And I really wanted to talk about what it looked like to be a prisoner of Christ, you know? And I guess I am because we are set free. That's what a prisoner of Christ is. You are free, right? You are free to love your neighbor. You are free to love your enemy. You are free to care about everyone. All those things that sound like they're rules, they're the personality of Christ. It's not just a rule. That's him. Forgiving, that's not a rule. That's Christ. See, that's the thing. That's what it's all about. All that stuff I've been reading, and after a while I'm just going like this. No, I'm not even kidding you. I was reading Colossians, and I'm reading Phil, and I'm going, it's all him. It might be a letter, but it's about the character of Christ. And I started reading it from that side. Oh my God, he's all these things. All those things he is. He's every one of these. It's just not a list. I got to do this, I got to do that. You can't do none of them. I can't. I'll put it that way. Let's talk about me. I can't do any of them. So I started looking, wow, that's his character. Those are the things he is. Those are the things he does. In Colossians, it names them one after the other, right? And at first, I was looking, wow, I can't keep that rule. I can't do that. Oh, man. And then one day, I was flipping through, and I go, oh, wow, that's Christ. That's what he did. That's who he is. That's who Paul's saying. Why is he thrilled? Because he is giving out of that hole, that dungeon, he's handing out hope to other people because he's saying, in the name of Christ, in him. How many times did it say, in him? Right? I don't know how many times I read it. In Christ Jesus. Right? The hope of glory is what? In Christ Jesus. Right? And that's what it's all about. So Paul's offering in Christ. In him. He knew in him. He knew it wasn't because of him. He knew what he was. He's a dirty scoundrel that would help kick a guy when he was down. But because Christ, now he's willing to pay a debt to a sinner, a slave, I'll cover your debt, brother. I'll cover your debt, Mike. I'll cover your debt. Because why? Christ covers our debt. I love it. And from from a childhood, this is 2 Timothy 3:15. From a childhood, you have been acquainted with the writings which are able to instruct you for the salvation through Christ Jesus. From a childhood. My whole life. I know that's a scripture and we're reading it. I think about the people that have been in my house growing up as a kid. I don't want to name drop stuff, but there's different people that are ministers around the world that I was privileged to as a kid. And all they said to me was just to read the scriptures to get to know Christ. I never heard of religion. I've never was raised in a religion. I don't know anything about a religious background. I was always raised, right, and privileged to the scriptures to say it's because of Christ. Never anything else. And that's the same thing I want to say, standing right here, that we testify to him. Whatever your prison is, maybe you're in prison in your mind. Maybe you got some thinking that's all bound up. He can set you free in your thinking. He can set you free there. Because some of you worry to death. I'm not a worrier. I'm fortunate in that area. I don't worry. I think about other stuff. I got other issues to deal with. But he can set you free even there in your mind. Your heart can be done. You know you've been changed. You've accepted him. You know that. All of a sudden, now you can stop worrying. Well, Lord, I can't handle that no more. Can you take that thought? Take that from me. I'm telling you, ask him to do it. He's a supplier of all these things. Right? But I love the ideal that it's not just a list of stuff. And then one more thing I'd like to say to bring this home. I'm going to be about 3 more minutes. I don't know what time it is, but I've been long enough. Miss Hope. And when I read Hope, our friend Hope, I've known Hope forever. All my life. My parents lived upstairs and her parents lived downstairs in the apartment. My sister was born on Christmas Day and Hope was born December 10th. They were friends. Same building. So she's been in our family ever since Hope's been born. And I think of, like, when you don't have no hope, and I think, boy, life without hope would be a sad place. It would, man. Think about it. When I was a teenager, she was up on Long Island when Mom and Dad were teaching in Bible school. And Hope would, we'd go somewhere. We ended up in the Bronx together with Hope driving, if you've ever been around Hope. She's riding. I said, Hope, we got to turn over here. Hang on, baby. And she's like, turn the wheel. We go flying over there and I'm hanging on, right? We're okay. We're in Christ and all this stuff. I'm Hope. I wasn't into Christ then. I was doing my thing. And I was living hard. But I would hang with Hope. Hope never quit praying for me, I guarantee you. So I called her this week and I said, Hope, I need to know. How you doing? I got to know this. And I know, I told her, I said, I'm asking you because I'm asking for permission. I'm not asking your condition because I know what it is. Spiritually, I know what you're doing. And she says, my spirit is soaring. We know she's not doing well physically, but there she is. We got Paul in the dungeon, his spirit soaring. We got Hope dealing with issues here on the level of earth, right? But her spirit is soaring. Her hope in Christ, she says, Rick, if I live or die, right? Glory be to God. That's a woman that's really sick. And that's what Hope was saying. And I said, Hope, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I'm on the other end crying because I'm going, Miss Hope, I knew it was true. Because I haven't spoke to her in a while. And I need to know, right? And you guys know that about her. Right? She's soaring because of what? The relationship she has with Christ. See, that's why her spirit's alive. Right? That spirit's alive. Is that spirit alive in every one of us? I believe it. Everyone sitting in here. People we run across today, let them ask you, hey man, you're looking pretty calm. What's going on? You know, how come you're not... this or that. Well, it's because we have a relationship with the one who suffered more than we'll ever suffer. Imagine what he went through on the cross, taking on our sin. Think about it. Took on all our sin. The perfect one. Christ, the perfect one, took on our sin. Come on. We can't do nothing but rejoice because he is faithful over and over. I want to say it 150 times. He is faithful. He is faithful. Seek him. Seek Christ. He wants that relationship 100%. Well, a prisoner of the Lord looks like somebody who was set free. Right? With his joy, with his hope. Right? And we want to pass that on. That's what we're here to do. It isn't about me. Oh, we'd all be lost. We'd go through that door and we wouldn't go no further than that door. But when we open the door to Christ, it's endless possibilities. It's endless. It's forever. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. Lord, we thank you today that we can lift up your name. We thank you that you want to dwell in our hearts. And we want to thank you that we do feel joy. We do feel set free. We are loved by you. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thanks for being rose again. And thanks for coming and dwelling in our hearts. Yes. Lord, and we thank you that we can give this message and we are set free as prisoners of Christ. Lord, and we thank you. And in your name we say, amen.